You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This gardening feature is brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.
It's 10:30 and time for the Garden Zone with David Parker from Budding Inspiration and our sponsor, Jeremy Finn from Harry Humans Garden Center. Good morning. Good morning.
Morning, morning.
Good morning.
Morning, Jeremy. You good?
Yes.
Short and sweet.
Yeah, we had it's unfortunate, but it's part of the deal. We had no trade yesterday with this.
The August. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Cape Town Cycle Tour is one of our closed days.
Well, what always is one of three. Mind, Jeremy, I was going to say, but even Christmas Day, the mall was more open on Christmas Day than it was yesterday. Because I live across the road, so I can walk to the mall and have it all to myself. But there were actually no shops open except for the main retailers.
Yes.
Which is quite amazing, because if you go there on Christmas Day, you'll be absolutely blown away that pretty much all the shops are open.
Yeah.
So it's pretty scary, hey? Mm. Anyway.
It's definitely a different... different mindset.
100%.
I mean, many years ago, everything was closed on Christmas Day. And now, everything is just open.
100%. So people keep going on. And funny enough, Sue just said now, and so did my wife who works at Olympian Cork Bay, that it seemed to be a lot quicker yesterday. It did sort of finish a bit earlier, and people were moving around, and I could hear the cars on my side of the wall. But hey, well done to everybody who rode, and congratulations. Not an easy event, is it?
No.
They deserve our support.
Yeah, I think they watch the weather with... I don't know what to call it, bated breath.
Yeah, 100% that wind.
It's either a wind. Yeah, we've had that one that was rained out, and then the one with the wind where the bikes were flying.
The one literally blowing in the Cape Town. It was quite something, wasn't it? I tell you. But anyway, other than that, Jeremy, so we're going to chat. It's the beginning of March, so we're going to just chat about what to do in the gardens for March. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, it's now officially autumn.
Autumn, yeah.
Yeah. This morning was a bit chilly, actually. There was a bit of a freshness.
It was nice.
Yeah.
You know, when the alarm goes off and you look out your window and it's definitely darker now, which is lekker though. So start getting ready for that coldness in the morning. But I love winter. I'm not going to lie, Jeremy. So
yeah, my best seasons are autumn and spring.
Nice.
Because it's in between.
In between. Not much wind. Calm out there. Jeremy, so I thought if we're going to start off with that, we'll kick it off with... Thank you so much. We'll start off with roses.
Oh, you love your roses.
Yeah.
What are you doing with the roses?
What am I doing with my roses? Feeding them.
Okay.
Still got to feed them a little bit at the moment, Jeremy. We have one more flush, I believe, now.
Okay.
You get your autumn flush, and then we obviously prune them in. I've actually started pruning my roses a lot later. I'm pruning in August now. I used to prune in June 10 years ago, which seemed early, but we would catch a bit of a later flush through the end of winter then, going into early spring. But at the moment, we're starting to prune in the beginning of August. But at the moment, we're preparing compost-rich soil for the new roses. We are watering established roses. I mean, watering is very essential still at the moment. And obviously, our mulch conversation always comes through, especially with the winds we do have.
Yes.
And then feed with a potassium-rich fertilizer. And one of the key things in gardening, Jeremy, is that NPK, your rule of thumb. You want to tell people what that is?
The NPK?
Yeah, so people understand
Those are the macronutrients that a plant requires. Nitrogen, phosphorus, and then potassium.
100%.
Yeah, so usually the fertilizers come in that ratio. They give you a ratio of those three macronutrients. And then... usually you would want to have some of the micro elements as well. So sometimes the fertilizer is only those three, and then it just means that it's not getting everything. You're then relying on the soil to have those other micros. Yeah. But otherwise you do get fertilizers that have NPK with micro elements, just to make it more of a complete fertilizer. And then, both like the chemical would only be the one that has NPK just by itself.
Okay.
The organic ones, unfortunately, you're not going to be able to strip out the micros. So any organic fertilizers will have a component of NPK in a different ratio, and then have the micros as well. Usually all of the organic ones will have some of the micro things 100%. Just because of what they're made from. If they're made from blood or bone or, you know, those sort of things, it's always going to have.
Well, who are you feeding your roses? I saw your neighbors missing on this.
The neighbors. Yeah, so any type of fertilizer. Cool.
And you want to explain to people what each element does for a plant, Jeremy? So, like, for example, nitrogen is obviously for your greeniness and your growth.
Yeah, it's the growth. They use the nitrogen quite heavily for green growth. And then your phosphorus mostly is for root development. And then your potassium is for like flowers and fruits and things like 100%. That. But they're, you know, each element plays its part. But when you talk about the NPK, that's an easy,
base.
So if you have a fertilizer that got a high first number, so like a 713, that first seven is the one that's the nitrogen, and that's going to be promoting your green.
So I did tell you this. I told you this last month. I think if you are feeding your garden, it is good to plan your feeding. So I did this beautiful big Constantia home, Jeremy, and yeah, we fed the lawns with 10-1-1 in November last year. So Sue, we go back literally, and they've got an amazing irrigation system. We keep on it all the time. We check it every time we go. We actually spend a whole day there every 2 weeks, which is quite a big job for us. So we checked it. We went back 2 weeks later. It literally took us about an hour and a half extra to mow, Jeremy. The grass was knee high because of the water ran every day since we left. 2 weeks of growth, and that was purely because of the 10 in the 10-1-1 of the high nitrogen. So
yeah, exactly.
It's important to know what you're doing. I mean, just a bit of a side note. I always talk to my manager in our recent. I said to him, look, let's not – you know, we want our gardens to look beautiful, Jeremy, but we also don't want to overfeed everything, because if you've only got an hour in the garden and you fed every single hedge and every single lawn and all together, you're going to arrive there. If again, water is essential though, Jeremy. So I think people need to know that feeding and that goes hand in hand with watering. And I think that's where the organic feeds have come into their own to a degree. Is what's nice about organic feeds is you don't have to water at all, to be honest. It can actually take just being put down. I always encourage a bit of watering to activate it, but that's the lovely thing about the organic feeds. It's the chemical feeds that we're talking about, that if you're applying a chemical feed, you must water immediately in order to activate it, first of all. And if you don't water, you can burn your plants and your lawns by leaving it sitting there. Anyway, so that was just that side note. So that's very important when you feed, just to watch that, because if you arrive back and suddenly your hedges have grown half a meter, your lawn's half a meter long, then you can end up having to cuck off a little bit to get everything under hand. So, which is what we did.
you got to decide what you're going
to
do first.
No, but that's it, Jeremy. You've got to decide the priorities of the garden. I always tell my guys, like, you know, a front entrance to a home is always important. People want to arrive and see beautifulness, I guess, if you have to say. And lawns, in my opinion, as you know, I love a good lawn, Jeremy. I'm battling. I mean, it is a strange thing, because not many lawns are indigenous, except for the buffalo, which battles a little bit ironically. But I'm a green lawn, so those things I generally feed. And again, I guess a good irrigation system is key anyway to a healthy garden as well. So
we got to just think about the watering now. If you've got an irrigation system that, you know, comes on quite regularly, you might need to start thinking about changing that system a little bit, just so that it doesn't have as much watering, because hopefully we're going to have some rain coming soon. And then, you will need to adjust it. You don't want to be watering unnecessarily just because that's the program that your system. I mean, can you, this is one thing I'm going to ask you, can you have a system that is seasonal?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can have programs that run depending 100%. On the season.
100%.
I suppose it also depends on the controller.
The controller has a percentage function button, basically, Jeremy.
Okay.
Which allows you to tone down. So if you've got a program set and it's 30 minutes each station, and there's four stations, for example, and it's on 100%, if you take it to 50%, then it will halve that program station's runtime. So it's not really a program per se that says it's autumn's coming and it's Africa, and it's just a case of saying we know that we're going to water half the amount now. So it's a lot easier then it's nice to let clients know that they don't have to get confused, so you don't have to worry about adjusting everything on your controller.
Yes.
You simply adjust one item,
the percentage,
and it will tone everything in half. And another thing that couples with that, I guess. But it's very something that I don't do a lot of, actually, Jeremy. In fact, I haven't done one for years, and it's a rain sensor.
I was going to ask you, have you used the rain sensors?
I have used the rain sensors. And the thing about the rain sensors is you can actually set the amount of mils on the actual sensor.
Mm-hmm.
At the top of the sensor, Jeremy, has got a little catch point with a little dongle, basically.
Okay.
And you can set it to 1 mil, 2 mils, 3 mils, believe it or not, and it will... once it fills up that amount, it will turn the controller off. But I've had problems with those, Jeremy, that if, for example, it rains hard and it's cold, and let's say the next week or yes. even 2 weeks after that rain is cold or still, you know, and hasn't rose up, the water sits in that little unit and it doesn't dry out. And then the controller
doesn't turn on.
Keeps thinking it's still raining. And I had a client who had no water for 2 weeks after a rain. Even though it didn't rain, but it was a bit cool. So luckily, it wasn't major like this hot weather. But I find it very temperamental, Jeremy.
Uh-huh.
So I think that. But we are going into a modern world, and a lot of people now have Wi-Fi controllers. So
yes.
that is obviously very lucky because you can be sitting in your. I can be sitting here with you, mm-hmm. and in fact, I'm very lucky. I've got a Wi-Fi unit, and I can go onto my phone right now, Jeremy, and actually activate my irrigation. And I got cameras, so I can watch my family when they're in the garden. I can wet them on purpose. So it works. You can just check them. Like, clearly they've got it turned on. So I think, you know, technology is helping us now.
Yes.
As well. But yeah, definitely. I like to turn off my systems to a point, but I always encourage my clients, even if you allow, one day a week in winter to let your system run, let it run, Jeremy. It's very important to not shut it off for 3 months at
yeah.
all, because what happens is, believe it or not, the little black pipes that may be exposed to the winter sun still get quite warm because they absorb that little bit of heat. And in winter, the insects and the bugs love that heat. So they all migrate towards the pipes, believe it or not, Jeremy. And
yeah.
if people turn off their water for 3 months, what happens is when you turn it back on, you actually end up having to call me out. And I have to spend 2-3 hours sort of getting it working and flushing out nozzles.
Checking all the filters money, and stuff.
100%.
Yeah.
Whereas... it's like anything. It's like a motor. A motor doesn't like to stand for 3 months. And a motor wants to run, you know, start your car, let it idle, even if you're not using it for a week. So same thing with an irrigation system. I always tell my clients, even if you run it 5 minutes a station, let each station run that pushes out through the nozzles. Remember, there's any little bits of grit in there, the nozzles will generally allow that sand out, Jeremy. They're quite big. So, but that's, yeah. So it's very seasonal. And very cool, to be honest. I love irrigation, as you know.
Well, we can go back to your roses, because you also would have maybe deadheaded your roses.
Deadheaded. I had a bit of a problem with scale this year. And funny enough, you know that because I phoned you. As you know, Jeremy is my go-to for any knowledge I need. He's very knowledgeable and his nursery amazing. And I was worried. These roses do get only afternoon sun, Jeremy.
Uh-huh.
Roses would prefer a lot more sun, I think.
Yeah.
And I also water a lot. So there's a lot of mulch. And I found that my ground cover had – it's all these little things. That the ground cover was getting a bit moldy.
Mm.
And I told you, I stood in it when I was cutting my rose and had all these tiny little insects flutter away. So I decided to clear that out, and I've cleared around the base of my stems. And it's funny enough, that rose care product that I use, I actually enjoy using that on other plants as well, because as you know, it's got a fungicide and insecticide in it all in one.
Yes.
So, you know, it's always good to do a general spray, I think, on plants. You're not quite sure always if you're getting the right thing. So did
your roses not bloom as much this year because of that?
No, not lekker at all. I lost two major stems. And then I must be honest with you, I also sometimes think that it could be my ground because it's the second year in a row where I haven't done as well and I've lost one rose in a very particular spot.
Okay.
So sometimes it's very important to know, you know, not to keep fighting an area, and maybe it's time for me to dig out that area, drop the level by half a meter. It becomes a job, you know?
Yes.
And then put good soil back in there.
But you've also got quite a few trees. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe
on the boundary line, not quite by the roses.
Okay, so
one beautiful big hibiscus there, and you're not wrong. That sucks a lot of nutrients out the ground because it constantly flowers. As mm-hmm. you know, the hibiscuses are beautiful. So, but I do a lot of feeding. I'm quite lucky, obviously, when I'm getting feed for my clients, not all the time. I generally keep myself stocked in feed.
Yes.
And I also do definitely alternate my feeds, Jeremy, from an organic feed to a chemical feed. I think it's very important. You know, we're talking about roses, but I've just fed my lawns 232 as well.
Yes.
Which is a higher phosphate.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're not trying to encourage growth on lawns right now. As you all know, they're not dormant. Doug was very good to me last year to teach me that grass actually never goes dormant.
Yeah.
I always had this, even in my trade, Jeremy, for all these years, I had this intense feeling that for 3 months I didn't worry about lawn at all. I didn't even look at it. But that's actually not right. That's actually wrong, Jeremy. Grass grows still.
Yeah, just much slower.
Just much slower. But it doesn't mean that you can't look after it. You know, you can actually feed a lawn in winter if you feel like it's needs it. Mm-hmm. But you're not gonna try and feed something that's gonna. And this kind of goes back to our notes that we're talking about on what to do for the months. It kind of goes back to. You're not going to over-nitrogen it because you're not trying to force growth. What you want to do at this point in time in your lawn is you want to strengthen the root systems so that when you get into our deep winter, when it is a lot cooler, a lot darker, and the grass is a lot more dormant in its growth, then you want to make sure that the roots are strong so it can sustain itself. We are doing that program now because we're also going to look at doing for the first time this year in my business, Jeremy, we're going to be offering our clients a pre-emergent spray. So
okay.
We're going to try and counteract the winter weeds and the winter grass, which is a big problem in Cape Townian lawns when we get through winter. And by doing a spray now, not quite now, in the next month and a half, Jeremy, we're only going to look at doing it by mid-April.
Yes.
So beginning of May. And that's going to counteract the germinating seeds in the grass. And remember, when you do that, it seems a bit strange, and this is why I think people battle with it, is you actually, even if your grass looks beautiful and perfect, you have to do a full spray. So mm-hmm. you've got to start at the corner of your lawn and spray in a grid pattern all the way through. You're not just spot spraying the weeds, because we're not spraying for weeds that are
pre-emergence.
There. We're spraying for pre-emergent weeds, and we're trying to catch the seeds that are in the ground before they germinate. And that's what we're busy doing at the moment. So that's the lawns and roses.
Yeah, especially with that... that winter grass is that as soon as the grass gets the your existing grass goes slower,
yeah,
then it means that the winter grass has a chance to grow, get in between there.
Pushes out the weaker lawns. I mean, you know, Kikui is a strong grass, but even Kikui takes a bit of a beating in winter. I'm not going to lie, Jeremy. And as we know, Buffalo is a nightmare. That's why even now in the next month, I'll tell any client with Buffalo to stop mowing, mm-hmm. literally feed the root system. Liquid feed Buffalo grass. I find that liquid feed on a Buffalo lawn has tremendous results because mm-hmm. it gets straight to the root system, and prevent any traffic on it at all. Literally stagger your dogs, make your dogs walk in a circle around the bin to go that way. You literally come to Harry Gibbons and buy those little metal stands, Jeremy.
Those little fences.
Yeah. And all you do is you literally, like where your dog runs off your back patio onto that area all the time, just put a little fence there and just encourage them to go to the right of it, you know, where the grass hasn't been damaged. And little tricks like that make a big difference through winter, I find.
Yeah. No, especially the traffic.
And also raising up your, like a lot of people allow their plants to, I mean, we don't want to soften, we don't want to expose your edging, but a lot of people allow their edge plants to grow, especially summer, lacquer beautiful over the softening and everything. You kind of want to cut those back a little bit and allow the edges. And also you have to chat to your garden service team or your garden gentleman that works in your home. It's very important now also in the next month to start mowing your lawns a lot higher.
Yes.
And that brush cutter machine that everyone loves, it actually, people don't realize it takes skill to use that machine correctly because it's got one level if people don't know how to use it. It's like doorgedoen a flat. Like it will cut your grass dead because they angle it down and they because it's a visual thing, you know. I've cut that lawn with the nylon now and now it's cut. But that's why I try and get my guys to mow as right up to the edge as possible. In fact, Jeremy, if I could take the brush cutters away from my team and let them mow right on the edges and have a machine that cuts down, for example, the lawns would look a lot better because when you get unskilled guys that cut them with that machine and they cut a bit flat, because remember, you got to teach guys.
Yeah.
So every now and then one of your oaks take a machine and you're like, ah. But it's just, especially now, too short. Once it's cut short in June, Jeremy, it will not grow back until spring, and it will then only grow back with a lot of TLC and care.
Yeah, and then it looks ugly for a while.
100%, Jeremy. So I start telling my guys now to actually stop cutting the edges. Going into the next month, we try and prevent cutting. Uh-huh. We cut down to edge it so it looks neat.
Yes.
And even then, we only do that once or twice every 2 months, Jeremy, because again, of the lack of growth. So
that's
interesting. It's very interesting.
Well, it's as we said, it's change of season, so it's also time to plant a few different veggies as well, because you're still going to have maybe your tomatoes and your peppers still producing a few late fruit. But it's because it's going to get cooler, you're going to probably start looking at doing spinach, lettuce, kale, Swiss chard, you know, those, the leafy greens.
Lekker.
And then beetroot, carrots, and
celery in those
Your radishes.
Spots, peas. Now, I'm reading from a book, just so everyone knows. I've always confessed, Jeremy, your knowledge on that's a lot better than mine. I don't really focus on veggies or herbs.
Yeah.
I find it, you know, if you plant that for a client, it's, once I've planted it, it's up to you to manage it because you need to come out every morning and look at those herbs and plants and make sure that there's no disease in snails or insects, you know.
Yeah.
And obviously, we don't want to kill every insect and every snail. We want there to be an organic environment for the herbs and veggies, but it just takes a lot more care, Jeremy. That's all.
Definitely. And then, peas and broad beans are coming through now as well.
So, and you've got all of this in stock here, Jeremy, at your nursery?
No, well, these would, you would be doing from seed now.
Okay.
So you'd be starting them off. Otherwise, yeah, like the spinaches and the lettuces and Swiss chard, we always have those. And, perfect. You know, those are always all year round. But like the peas and the broad beans, we won't have yet. But you could definitely start doing 100%. Those from seed.
But I think that's the lovely thing about coming into Harry Gibbons, that's all, Jeremy, is that's what a nursery does. A nursery follows the seasons, you know. So whatever you have, it's the season for that plant. And whatever you don't have, it's not the right time.
It's not the right time.
And it's really lekker. And I think if people, it's actually a lekker way to learn, you know, to go into the nursery and go walk around there and see what's in growth. It's nice to visualize it, I think, sometimes.
Yes.
Have a nice cup of coffee at your beautiful restaurant.
Yeah, we went on Friday.
We got a question.
No, we don't have a question. We've got good morning, Jan. Thank you. Jan says, a great place to shop, wonderful staff, and thank you for my peace in the home.
Perfect. that was a situation where we didn't actually have any in stock. But the other thing is that for some reason, the peace in the home has just gone like absolutely crazy under the tables. And I just gave a piece.
But. No, but that's what you do, Jeremy. You're part of the community, but and that's why everyone loves it.
That's why she's saying thank you, and the staff's amazing.
No, the staff are amazing there. No, we're very lucky to have a beautiful nursery on the corner. So Jeremy, and then that's generally trees and that now something that I can suggest. I'm already pruning my trees at the moment, and the only reason I'm pruning is not because of any reason, but to get a bit more sun into my garden.
Yes.
So like I've got two palm trees and I'm busy sort of, I don't want to say pineappling them. I don't like that pineapple look too much, but I've definitely taken off about the lower three fronds, Jeremy, and that's allowing a little bit more sun into my lawn. I guess it's all about grass for me, isn't it? But also raise up my trees. And that's, it's keeping that there. It's also good at this time of year now to try and get into your hedges in that, Jeremy, any even beautiful shrubs, and try and sort of cut little holes into them, if that makes sense, with hand cutters. It's a lot more skilled labor, Jeremy. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to give it some air pockets so that it doesn't get too dark and dingy on itself. And remember, even that can cause it to rot a little bit. I mean, it's a strong word, rot, on talking about a shrub, but you know what I'm talking about, if the branches are all crossing each other. And another thing, you know, like these toperized round balls that everyone seems to love. Again, even those, it might seem contradictory to cut a little hole into it, but it's important to get sun into the middle of those, because what it tends to happen is they get kept at a single shape. And look, if you keep it at that shape, I suppose it doesn't matter, but it tends to not get any much growth in the middle, or should I say at all along the stems, only where you're cutting it. And if that can cause to it becoming D-shaped or deformed by one bad cut, or if it does take a bit of a beating in winter and it gets blown around a little bit, you know. So just all these little bits of things. And especially now with winter, we just spoke about the chemical feed, Jeremy. I wouldn't recommend much chemical feeding now, though, except for 2-3-2 in the lawn. It's more now going to the organic feeds, Jeremy.
Yeah, the organic.
Maybe some liquid feeds.
Yeah, they're all mostly like slow release. Pots. And, you know, so they will just sit there and do their thing.
100%.
So when it gets the rain or it gets water, some of it's going to go into there. Into the soil and just 100%. Be available.
I think I must be careful. I talk about winter like it's this big, dark, gloomy thing. And I think you must be careful of talking like that, because if you go to your beautiful nursery, Jeremy, there's millions of things in flower.
That's
flowering needs water, needs feed, needs care, needs attention. So please, it's not as if the whole country goes dormant for 3 months. It depends. And as an avid gardener, you'll obviously know what you have in your home. But it's important, Jeremy, that, you know, so for example, I know it's a weird thing to say, but Indian hawthorn at the moment. My clients' balconies are all blooming beautifully, because obviously in India at the moment, they're going into spring and into summer.
Yeah.
And we're going into autumn and winter. So anything like that, you can still feed, because it's actually indigenous to another part of the world. And in that part of the world, it's actually its flowering period. And that's why it's flowering in South Africa. And I just think people, it's not that we go completely dead now, you know. Just remember that. So it's important.
There's always stuff to do in the garden all year 100%. Round. I mean, we're coming up to that time now where it's actually, if you were going to plant a tree or if you're going to plant big shrubs or whatever, it's going to to be time now.
100%.
So, yeah, there's still plenty to do.
Very, and we've just, last topic to this morning, and we just spoke about irrigation, but funny enough, you've just said something really important, Jeremy, as well. If you are a house that doesn't have a good irrigation system, or you don't have an irrigation system, this is the right time of the year to pre-plan and to establish trees and bigger shrubs, because planting them now allows them to get that water through, mm-hmm. which will make your job a lot easier going into spring and summer, not having to water them so much. You know, if you plant a new tree in the middle of summer, you're going to want to water it and establish it, Jeremy. But yeah. So you just also made a really valid point there now.
There we go.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Very interesting.
always lekker.
Very interesting this morning, once again, as always.
Thank you.
So you'll be back in 2 weeks' time.
Thank you, Mr. Finn.
All right.
Yeah, thank you, David.
Thank you, Sue.
Yep.
Have a lekker time.
Everyone can find you at Harry Humans and David.
I'm right here in the chair. No, my cell number is 073-247-0351. And my email address is buddinginspirations@gmail.com. And thank you for that. Appreciate you.
Jeremy, we can find you at Harry Humans.
That's where you'll find me.
have a lekker day, you guys.
Cheers, guys.
Bye.
Thank you. Cheers.
This gardening feature was brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.